she's at Mike High for me there. Before I read my poem, I'd like to say thank you to Anne-Marie there. She was writing a residence in Kerry as well, and was very, very generous with her time there, and brought out a little publication, and I'm on page 14 and 15 of that publication. I'm not too sure about this poem, I just want to try it out with a little incident that befell my good wife and myself. The day of the curious incident of the car in the trees. Saturday, the day for little perceptions, the road easy setting its own rules. Wife Breda hummed beside me, one of our vanilla moments, chatting of the weather, family, and the friends wouldn't be wit because of today's trip. We passed the roundabouts for a while, and I musing but not speaking of the roundabout's fate sins. On the open roads, with the song of the tires, disrupted by the dissonance of the wheels on the level crossing, past the new unhumped bridge, past the permanence of the river and the old road, the ghost islands, the church steeple. We are on a long, easy climb, past the shards of mist onto the sharp plateau. Behind us, purple hills shaped like breasts, survivor palms, rocks, heather on either side, and the feckless babble on the radio. Then refreshment time in ease, the aroma of coffee. I notice how the door opens and closes with a ghostly whistle, and we're off again, unhurried, anxiety to be there, through a street that closes around us like a placenta, and onto another open road, the final link. I am staring at a newly purple sky, leaves and catkins floating like wounded butterflies, drifting in the pre-painted silence. Pollen, yellow and brown, floats in that unreal time of reality. In those small, precious seconds, that sound again, the rent and fracture of branches. Pain is still absent, but ugly imminent. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Next up, we have Anthony Tarishi.
Hi there. I've been working on a collection of political kind of poems for the last 6 months. So, and the events in the direct with Virgin and Gerard just kind of prompted me to come here and read them out. And some are quite short, so maybe I can just read a few.
Sure.
Okay. So, the entire collection is called The Justin Barrett Cycle. And the first poem is titled 2,924 Twitter followers. It goes, that's 2,924 too many. Second poem is called Justin Barrett Has a Stupid Voice. It goes, Justin Barrett has a stupid voice. The third poem is Justin Barrett has a stupid face. And it goes, Justin Barrett has a stupid face. The fourth poem is called Ireland Belongs to the Irish. And it goes, Define Irish. Justin Barrett hates me is the next one. Justin Barrett hates me. That's okay, I hate him back. Justin Barrett hates me. Is it because I is black? Justin Barrett hates me. Why so? I have no clue. Justin Barrett hates me. At least I'm not a Jew. Zero votes, zero fox. If on party not Shunta, the National Party, never got another vote, I would give zero fox. And the last one, Justin Barrett does not compute. Justin Barrett is a Catholic. A core tenet of Christianity is radical egalitarianism. We are all equal in the eyes of God. There is no us and them, there's only us. But for Orwellian Barrett, some of God's children are more equal than others. I wonder, is Justin Barrett a crap Christian or just syllogistically challenged?
Thanks, Anthony. No, you weren't anticipating the big Jewish population in the room tonight, but next up we have Joanne Hackett. Oh, is it Joanne?
I don't have this poem with me in Cork, so hopefully I don't forget it, but I might. So, yeah, I think it's called Bad Seed. She who shook the apple tree had known what trouble she would make. She let her will and strength run free, for in her was a snake in love. From up above or heaven sent, a tree so peaceful on a hill, she thought her sin she may repent, for she could not keep from marveling. Trunk as strong as marble rock, and bark as soft as porcelain, so alive to almost talk, with leaves like warm long summer days. She threw her gaze up at the sky, and with remorse she slowly said, I've seen the apple of my eye with flowers full of red and green. Oh, what a pity I have seen, for what I love I must destroy. My soul is full of red and green, and now my heart shall overflow. My reds are not as sweet as yours, my greens, they do not nourish souls. 'Tis fire which my soul endures, and with guilelessness I burn trees down. I do not know why I am like this, she whispered and moved slowly forward. I'd push you down for just a kiss, despite your beauty on the hill. A skill which she is yet to learn is how to love but not destroy. How to love, how to warm but not to burn, for the sake of fruit grown by the tree. And she may never propagate, for it's far too risky getting close. A bad seed will contaminate and kill the fruit which her love grows.
Aside from the five word challenge earlier, that was the first time Joanne read in the open mic that wasn't at a funeral, which you let me know earlier.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah.
Next up, can we get Alfred McGlinchey?
It's called Still Life. Spread-eagled, white rubbery, she lies, clung in algae and clug, post-collision. He clasps with all might below a mammatus cloud. Next morning, I chug to the pond. He's still in amplexus above her cloacal opening, fore and hind limbs embracing, though her own, fluter, gone deadly. Oh, hope for a Lazarus revival, seized by dead certainty of stirring her yet into spawning. They lie wedged between rock and lily pad, dun as a deer hind, among leafy sludge. She, bloated relish, he, clasping, grim as a starveling to empty nipple, in a brink frozen stillness, willing death's wet skin of his paramour, her clouding, bulbous grey echo. For 20 long, cloudy days, his bulk remains cleaved to her, to deaden the pain of confronting a corpse, regenerate a pulse in the still pregnant form of his would-be progeny's source. The lies we tell ourselves when the stakes are so high. Clasping the grungy, mashed oats of her body, he hides from his own flesh's quelling, a canary, hindmost intuition at her lack of tympanic response. Clouded of judgment, even if his thumb pads are glistening, clasped to the folly of longing, gluggish persistence, dead set on her. Unthinkable to consider another in lieu of his chosen one, all the portents, terrible insights. Still, he's slipping his grip, like alcohol lifting to the neck of a still. Perhaps being observed so intently is hindering his illusion, almost seeing the blotchy lie of a black beaded necklace ready to give life that, like clouds, will always drift back to the pond. As though dead drunk now, he founders, knee-deep in grief. Death has clasped his egg carrier by the throat, fixed that black clasp to cancel out future breath. What anguish, still to see you cradling your wasted, swollen Ophelia, deader and more gone than miscarriage in birthing pool. Hindsight may come bitter as bile. After such clouded delusion, singing to yourself those lullabies of lies, you clasp desolation behind the bloat of her carcass, beaten by death to the deadline. Who can cling to a cloud? You may as well ask the wind to lie still.
Her cake. I tried hangers, scalding water, the spoke of a bicycle wheel. And Christ, those first years in the council flat on the outskirts of the town, surviving on tits, no blanket to wrap her in. I told mothers at the playground I was a sitter. Post meant that my husband would be back later. At dusk, I'd play the video of her birth in reverse, blood and afterbirth filling me back up. Once I left her on the steps of the church, but ran back 5 minutes later, convinced there were bruises where there were none. Maybe I wanted some physical thing, a scar on her face I could hate myself for. Then at 12, she pierced her navel with a safety pin. I screamed at her, but wiped away the blood with saline. Now, as I got her room for drugs or drink, I find a photo on her dresser of us on the swings. Me pushing her away and pulling her back in. God, I was only 15.
Next up, can we get Charles Clark?
Salmon in the river, geese in the air, berries, food, or poison in the bushes, by the king's fireside, poets, and lawgivers, in a word, business as usual.
Inspired a long, long time ago when I used to do Tai Chi, and the teacher would, before we'd start, he would kind of get us to try and open up and be aware of what's around us. And so this is what emerged for me. It's called Short Circuit. We step out gingerly at first, testing the floor, countering the weight shift. Unseen boards surprise a cautious foot. The teacher's voice sparks in the empty hall. Look, listen, touch, smell, move. Refusing to delete his favorite expletive, he aims to prise apart the paltry safety catch, locking down neurons that fizz with possibilities. Then trip those wires to detonate a seismic blast under the bedrock of our complacency. Loosen our foothold. Make us slip Ah, but the drop is stunning, free fall into fullness. Suddenly, all the circuits come alive. Nerve endings crackle as new signals flash. Moments such as these are apt to melt old redundant wiring in the brain. So we tune out. As eyes glaze over, we become predictable again. The master's voice calls out, but we believe it's safer to close down. Thank you.
Thanks, Marie. Next up, could we get Emily Davis Fletcher?
Thank you. Last year, it's funny, like there's so many things I miss about Ireland, like the whale, and one of the things that most surprised me that I miss is like my Irish dentist, because he was like so easy to please. My American dentist is, you know, it's like, he'll only be happy if I could give him like $5,000. So this poem stemmed from my experience with my American dentist. It's called My Top Right Central Incisor, and it's basically about, yeah, just, and so, you know, starting to like embrace those imperfections and stuff that, you know, he wants to fix. So my top right central incisor. This man with latex hands jokes with his assistant, past the hammer, as if it can be fixed like a leaning fence post, as if it could make me smile like a pair of sad clown portraits, as if I could forget it like the tiger's eye in my pocket, as if my top right central incisor is not myself out of line, hip jutting when I lie, deny I told Mel at Saturday's sleepover my uncle has AIDS, a stone that shelters a frog from summer sun, sit there I tell my sister, and when the stone rocks forward I drop on her, you killed a frog, or the snout of a possum skull poking through a hayloft, smelling I'm stuck with the wasp, I shake in a jar till my arms ache. A hard, smooth belly of garlic, undressed under the sharp knife I hold for the first time. Chop the way Mom shows me. Without cutting myself, I say, you should have an abortion. His t-shirt I punch in the back on a line of white. My bedroom door that jumps as the stray we named Al is beaten for biting the tail off a calf. Your three pillows to my one. Hug me, I whisper up. No, hug me, you whisper down. Thank you.
Next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Question. The slippery torpor of divesting innocence, lubricated by drugs and alcohol regularly, spectrum of lunacy borne down by its necessity, on any given night, fanciful in its execution. The fascistic distance between me and them, drinking on concrete for shorter than desire, shunted away by Gardaí for better bearing. This war never existed but to humiliate. The man is utterly insane, right to a point. Insistence on oral is by rejection. Elusive climax never on your watch. Irish satisfaction is yours alone entirely. Being very good, shifting out of laser charges, wishing to legalize everything in a state stance. Growing to experience is my lot in life. A distance of sort is my only escape. Repetitive phone calls taken up at last, before revenge porn ever existed. For that I'm grateful, digital smartphones, peeing on whereabouts on any given day. What was seen in you evaporates eventually. The cult of the waster never lost on you. Promising much, never deliver, it's been done before. sacrificing apogees of a heightened sense.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up, can we get Michael Ray, please?
This isn't the stillness before the pounce. It seems from here among the jalapenos in my greenhouse she has chosen her departure. I remember the throttle of her purr around my legs, the carcasses of little deaths. I stroke her hollow mountains, the dark interiors, the bumps and spaces beneath her fur that trap me in comfort. Some nights she'd settle with us on the sofa, just where my hand would want to rest, my fingers set to flick through the world. And when she did, I'd feel obliged to search for something with fish or birds. Last week, another deja vu. I believe we were watching a documentary on special relativity. Her ears, tiny radars, tuned to the narrator, tail rotating like the crank of a time machine. I'm pretty sure that this is how felines enslave us, and that there's something paradoxically liberating about such captivity. Like there is in love and lust, in the pre-orgasmic, the constraint of thought, the rigor of the body, just before that moment when the prison of the world evaporates and you pass into sublime and revelatory stillness.
Next up we have Phil Spillane.
New poems that I should be practicing here, but I feel like I want to do an old one tonight, which I shouldn't be doing. Oh well. This is called the moth effect. Does anyone know what the butterfly effect is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just in case, when a butterfly flaps its wings, causes a storm in Australia. Something small creates big consequences. It's great for time travel plots and parallel universes. So, you know what that is. What's the moth effect? Pleasant are the times when you try the fish for moths, where a light bulb dangling off a fishing rod, with its power being run straight from your heart as it waves and dangles off the cliff edge, away from the storm, and only one comes from the dark. Its wings flap madly like a candle flame, battling to stay alive after the puff of the lips, admiring its delicate, flawed architecture, but also your power, pride, and self-perspective. Shall you crack it between the point of your finger and the plaster wall? You never hear the consequences, as the moth effect is silent. Thank you.
What did you find on the floor there?
It's
a
What are you doing with it? Sure. Thank you. On behalf of the bar. Next up we have Cedric. This is an edited version of a 5-word challenge. The words were dumped, loft, diabolical, hero and systemic. The Avenger. It's etched in everyone's mind, isn't it? The image of the hero, classical. An armor, shiny or not so. A man posing, the definition of bravado, handsome. He does his own stunts, handsome. Landings are hard, his heart is soft. The way he's cast is systemic. It's not just the halo that appears white a lot. It's not just the halo that appears white aloft, but the lacking of a select few, acting according to a scheme, so long drawn it's almost diabolical. He will win hearts, guide the stray, carve a path for the weak to run away, steal anyone's time to shine. Turning fictions and stories into narrative history of a brother, become a father to all, protecting us from growth. He's etched in everyone's mind, isn't he?
Next up we have Amy.
I've read this one before, it's a while ago, and I've changed some parts. It's called A Dream of How I Became the Moon. I'm standing there. To my right stands my son, his hair is dark. To my left stands my daughter, her smile is bright. We are holding hands, and I cannot tell which is mine, which are my children's hands. You are standing before me, and your forehead touches mine. We are so close to each other, so near. Your breath is warm. It moves the little hair on my skin. For a moment, all is at peace. We are family. We are tribe. Then the little hands start disappearing. It's just sand running through my hands until I hold nothing anymore. It feels as if a dream that was sleeping inside my core suddenly is no more. And you are walking slowly, backwards, facing me. Your eyes don't see me, yet you are looking at me as I become the moon. Deep darkness surrounds me and I'm far away, my skin is cold and pale. Sometimes I reflect the sunlight of a smile that meets me. At night, children look up at me, surprised to find a greater landscape that looks like a face. They say it looks sad and lonely. They don't know I dreamt of them once.
Next up we have Dan Johnson.
It's 4:57 a.m. Seagulls congregate to hear my silent preaching as I walk through the vacant void of Grand Parade and over the arch of the footbridge. The river is risen to meet me, lapping the high water mark, reaching up to lick the mossy underbelly of the bridge that bears my weight. Flags flap and snap, and trash skitters on the pavement with a strange musicality that is pregnant with the dewdrops of quiet after a long night of work. The drunks that I pass walk empty steps. They don't understand the beauty of the canvas of night silence that gives me pleasant pause. What secrets might the pre-dawn September breeze whisper in my ears? The quill is in my hand, gifted by the gulls while the city sleeps to wake hungover. The arching spider eyes of Finbar's house meet mine from atop their graveyard mound, and the golden glow of street lamps dissolves us like butter in a frying pan. On dirty pavement and granite stone of yesteryear, how many walks have you seen, old saint? These absurd and lofty thoughts trip over soggy containers that were once womb to chips, cheese, and garlic. the decor of the moment, vomit confetti, banana peels, glitter of cheap Polish cans that leak fading laughter. It's a strange sensation, this aloneness that is not loneliness. The way I can walk in the middle of the road, every street my own grand parade. I see it when it's all over, the stage hand that wades through the climactic streamers, when the final curtain has closed and all the actors have taken their bows. The Lee. The Lee is verse and has stretched out its hand to guide me on a stream, carrying me across and around itself to the final dark of my bed.
The next reader, you could say he's Mary O'Connell's rogue son. Feel free to walk out during this reading as well. He goes under a very controversial stage name of John Montague. I'm just going to call him No.
Fake you!
It's like Bondage Beach.
I know, I was there, I remember it. Just a bit of background with this. This is based on a myth, not a myth actually, in Macedonia. There's a monastery on a lake where a Saint Naum is buried from about 984 or something. But there's a tradition that if you go up to the tomb and you put your ear to the tomb, you can hear his heart beating, basically after 1,000 years. So this is actually launched in Macedonia last month. This is a selective poem in English and Macedonian, so if there's anybody from Macedonia here, they can come up and read the actual translation if they wish. No? Rescue. Tonight I cannot sleep. I am thinking of Saint Norman in his monastery on the shores of Lake Ochrid, sealed in his tomb since the 10th century, patiently awaiting the resurrection. That when you press your ear to the lid of his tomb and listen carefully, you can hear his heart beating still after all these years. Why the fuck hasn't somebody called an ambulance?
Not walking in as well, I didn't really mean it, but you got that.
I did.
I did a bit, spoiled. Now to close our open mic, we have Mo O'Connor.
Yay! Thank you very much. Here's a poem. I might have done this poem here before, but the reason I'm doing this one right now, I just came from the hospital there. I had a friend of mine, a musician, who's dying of cancer. The last hour, as I say, you know, and I was with him tonight, and you know, we had a good time, we had some laughs talking about the past and everything, and it reminded me of this poem that I wrote for my brother who took his own life, unfortunately, in 1991. And, you know, the words of emotion are hard for us, well, we're only about my generation. So here's a poem called Words Unsaid. I wrote this poem when I left for America and I came back for this young years later. Words unsaid. I remember well the day I left, so much left unsaid, an awkward embrace from my brother, now 10 years dead. You splashed water on my face, blessed in knock last June, fearing the words of emotion, I promised a letter soon. The way I forged the adjective on poetry's anvil, bent it to and fro at will, held it on like a slitter, and hurled it forth with Joycean skill. The simple words of the heart are the ones we fear the most. Like the mighty oak, you did not bend, you went your own way to the end. When society's drummer drummed, you walked your own way, his beat you shunned. Now when I hear of a friend or neighbour who died unexpectedly, I am crushed all over to the core. The words unsaid will ring forevermore.
Mole did not close her mic, because we always have time for Max Graham.
I'm actually coming from the together an improv, but it's kind of sad, but I have to respond to Anne Marie's beautiful reading the more. Hope I'll ruin the songs when I write about it.
Let yourself away alone.
Can you hear
that? Tore the final fray, let me down. How could you do that to me? Can you feel my heart scream and me? No more games to play, it's all done. To lay your final card, they're all gone. Nothing left for me to do but cry and scream my heart out to you. King of the underground, couldn't get your head around. King of the indie scene, couldn't get yourself clean. Bring me your scars and I'll try to unlock them. Bring me your wounds and I'll try to dress them. When nights are cold and you're on your own, and no one's home, just some stranger on the phone, I will warn your cleave on. Get you dry, keep you warm. That fine fray left me down. Nothing left for me to do but cry and scream my heart out to you. You left me here all alone. No more cards to play, they're all done. Nothing for me here to do.
Foster kids, so that was his child who had been left without their dad, and he's tried to talk to her, and she'd always come back to the same subject. So, very out of breath of the girl, bye.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks to everyone who participated in the February challenge earlier, and to our winner, I don't think she's here anymore. We'll give her a bit of us anyway. We're going to be Jessie Militante. Thanks to everyone that read on the open mic as well. I really enjoyed it. And a special thanks to the Hail Off Bar for Amy for putting up with us, as usual. And special thanks again to Anne-Marie Nicaron, who came down for us tonight.